Blog Talk Radio.
Why should the top of the knee?
break. This is the midsummer.
Business. better. Not unless you call being out of work better.
Right, wrap up tonight.
Let's start a new run of tests, man.
Right. So nice meeting you.
Thank you. see Tony in public today if it killed me. Scott, where are you going?
I forgot I have to do something. Tony, would you mind taking Linda home?
Last week in this room, I handed out a printed press release entitled Carbonite. And then I found myself in the embarrassing position of having to ask you to keep that release under your hats because of security reasons. Today, however, and with a great deal of pride, I can say to you, print away.
Dr. Corson, do you predict Carbonite will replace steel in buildings, transportation, and so forth?
Well, I see no reason. For the present, the government is more interested in the military and defensive uses of Carbonite.
Carbonite is your discovery, isn't it, Doctor?
Well, I wouldn't go quite that far. I am in charge of a large research center, too. But we're here on a team. It would be impossible for one man to do all the work by himself. For instance, the team that did all the final work in the final stages of development and was so ably led by Dr. Scott Nelson, was composed of a number of young scientists whom we have gathered together here.
With the
able
assistance of Dr. Scott,
yeah, he's a worst man. Well,
at least you never remember the name of a medal. Carbonite. I'm glad you're here. 3 days and a half now. If you don't help us celebrate Carbonite, the world's first impenetrable metal.
I don't believe it.
Tony, we proved it today.
Not to me. It can be penetrated.
Okay, Tony.
You don't believe me? Get me some of it.
Look, I told you want to work with Carbonite, I can get Carson to put you out.
I wouldn't be able to work there.
You wouldn't be able to work anyplace. You had to do a job. You just want to play around with your theories and make like some 16th century alchemist.
God, I told you I wouldn't be able to work there.
Or any place else.
You think that Carbonite is the ultimate defense, don't you? Bomb-proof, bulletproof, heat-proof, absolutely impenetrable.
This idea of yours is...
Okay, it's my idea, but you gave it to me. Look, Scott, will you sit down and listen to me for 5 minutes? Please. You remember when I was still in school, you showed me a picture of a piece of lead and a piece of gold from a European museum.
Paris Conservatory.
Then you do remember. Linda, there were these two pieces of metal, and over a period of time, they grew together. Am I right? All right, all right. Now, it took 50 years for the lead and the gold to mingle. But what would happen if we could speed that process up? And I don't mean just lead and gold. I mean anything. Concrete, wood, steel. Where would your carbonite be if I could penetrate it with a small piece of wood?
Tony, it's impossible.
I can't get any carbonite. But what about steel and an ordinary wooden pencil? What would you say to that? I've done it. Oh, now you really think I'm crazy. Well, you just sit right where you are. Don't you move. Don't either of you move. Embedded in that piece of metal. Within this piece of steel, there's an intermingling of atoms. Wherever they touch, they're one.
You did this.
4 years ago. I admit it was a freak. Something happened to my equipment. I haven't been able to duplicate it since.
You're hearing those,
I did have. The fire. I'll tell you something. I was working on the theory of amplifying atomic fields. I built myself a force field. At the moment when this pencil mingled with the field, my device wasn't affecting them. It was affecting me.
How do you mean?
I willed it.
You did what?
I willed it.
With your brain, with occult powers. That's why I went to this school to become a mystic.
I said to myself it was going to happen. I said it was going to happen, and it did.
Your equipment, your fancy turn led into gold machine.
It acted as a booster. It boosted my brain waves to an extent I've never been able to achieve since. But at that moment, I willed it.
Tony! Tony, wait! Tony, please wait. You frightened me running away like that.
I wasn't trying to frighten you. I was sore.
Tony, I'll be honest with you. I don't know whether to believe your story or not, but at least now I know what's been wrong with you.
Do you?
Thank Look, Dr. Carson, I've been trying to be patient like you suggested, but I'm no better off than I was before. Maybe a little worse.
Well, what do you mean?
Tony Nelson.
Tony? Oh, Scott Swallow. Forget about it. The team needs you. You made yourself very valuable.
I'd be a lot more valuable if I had my own lab.
No, Professor. Have a little more patience. You know, I can't start a new project until someone comes along with a new idea.
Did you read car insurance?
No.
What are you working on? I can type it for you.
No, thanks.
But you have got to eat something.
Yes, Mother.
I'm going to drink a coffee.
You have two times in the summertime. You know what I'm doing in the winter?
I'm thirsty, Linda.
Oh, I know. It's all for half of us. But be quick about it. I want you in bed and asleep when your mother gets home.
What? Yeah.
That's all right. I'm just watching the laundry floor. Nothing will matter, Scott.
I'm on a peanut butter sandwich.
Well, I think that's just about enough, young lady. I want you to get upstairs after bed. Go on, go on.
And I was in a minute. Johnny, I'm serious.
I'm sorry. You just surprised me, that's all. Not every day that girl will be at the door and then comes in and proposes to her.
You do?
No matter what I say, I'm always hurt you.
I want to hear it anyway. It's Tommy, isn't it?
No. It's us, Scott. You and me. I admired you more than any man in the world. But we both know that's not enough. What you have for me isn't love. Habit. Working together, spending so much time together, you depend on me so much.
Don't.
Thank you. thing like this, can we handle it?
You have to promise me. Or just give me a couple of days and see what we can do. Then when we understand it more. Tony, I don't want Carson to have this. I don't want him. I got to promise me. You do want the credit. I don't know. Maybe I just like the power of being able to do something nobody else can do.
Oh, God, not you. You are with sense.
I don't care what I said. You go.
Oh, no, wait, Scott. There may be side effects of this we don't know anything about.
You ought to be checked by a doctor. You go.
This morning, but it wasn't any use. Are you all right?
There was another.
You don't sound so good.
I'm fine.
Listen, I told Linda what happened last night. She still doesn't believe it, but we've been trying to figure it out.
Just doesn't sound like him. I'm worried.
Me too. I'm worried about what he did last night after I left him. This morning, so I really haven't seen him for almost 2 days.
Never had
to. I know he hasn't. That's what worries me. Wow! It's a fine time for you to be coming to work. I tried to wake you this morning, and boy, you're out cold.
How's it going?
Okay. This whole business has me worried. I keep thinking that there must be some connection between force field and carbonite. But all of my research, and all of yours on carbonite, has been on the molecular structure of inanimate matter, not people.
Well, scientists are drawn to call anything impossible. Take the Paris experiment with the lead and the gold. You said it yourself. It could be speeded up. Well, that's what you've done with your force field. You've compressed the energy of years into a moment.
That's like the fourth dimension.
Well, I could see that with objects, but not with a person. If you could use, say, 10 years of energy in a single moment, it would take something out of you physically.
Say, did you hear about Schwartz?
No, what?
There's clearly a lady found a body in the hallway this morning. They can't find Schwartz.
Oh, my God.
You mean I think it was murder?
No, he died of old age. This guy must have been about 90.
Well, do they know who you are?
No, that's the funny part. This guy was wearing his Schwartz's clothing. He had his wristwatch and ring, and he even had his wallet.
That's terrible. Where do you think the man could be?
Well, Scott, Dr. Carson wanted to see you right away.
What do you think of Roy Parker?
I like him.
Oh, you like everybody. What I mean is, I've always thought of Parker's being a perfect assistant. He was the sort of man who could forge ahead with ideas of his own.
That'd be right, Brian.
Oh, you start opening up. I'm just looking around.
I see.
What things have you, Scott? Anything new up your sleeve?
No. What about you?
No, nothing. I'm just wondering. You know, you have the sort of mind that I like, Scott. another stagnant. Well, I thought now that the carbonite was pretty much off the ground. You might be turning to other things.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, if anything turns up, I'm sure you'll let me know.
Did they ever check for the street police? A couple of days ago. Nothing major. I might want to repeat the test, given the planned activity on that runway.
Oh, I just did.
Nothing in front of the street for at least a week.
Okay, thanks.
Right.
You're going to mind, Scott?
I'll be alone. Check with the security records at the research center.
I don't believe it. I'm a cop. I work with facts. I have to start looking for something that saps the life out of a man like juice out of an orange. Dr. Carson's secretary tells us that if it's what noon yesterday, Dr. Carson had a talk with your brother. Any idea what it was about?
Could have been almost anything. Carson often dropped in to find out how Scott's projects were getting along.
Yeah, well, this meeting took place in Carson's office. What is your brother, Dr. Nelson, expecting to come along with you?
I don't know.
Well, did he meet the research center with you?
No. No, he hadn't come into work yet.
Well, you live with him, don't you?
Yes. What makes you think Scott had anything to do with this?
I'm just asking questions. Oh, yeah.
Captain, we're not asking about the bank job.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Nelson.
Oh, we heard about the robbery that took place at the bank.
Uh-huh.
Something happened there that we withheld from the papers. Perhaps you can help us with it.
I'll try.
Well, you're a scientist. Can you think of any reasonable explanation for a piece of paper, $1,000 bill, that we found embedded in a vault door made of 8 inches of solid steel?
Look, if he comes back, don't let him get near you. Now listen to me. Do as I say. Get dressed. I'll be over there in 5 minutes. We're going back to the police station. I'm going to see Captain Rogers, please.
What?
They're going to chop him down like an animal. Fine company.
Yeah. What are you drinking?
I usually drink with Carson on.
So every time Scott goes through something, he uses up months or maybe even a year's energy in a single second.
In that case, he ought to be pretty old by now.
That's right. But he isn't. The way I figure it is he's found a way to renew his energy and keep himself from getting older.
You're trying to tell me that your brother can get energy, time from other people?
That's why a young doctor dies of old age.
And how do we get it?
Well, he's not in this fourth dimensional state all the time. You'll have to get him when he's normal. Or you'll have to convince him to give himself up.
Get out of all points on Dr. Scott Nelson. Tell him not to take any chances. He tries anything, shoot to kill. This guy is a wild.
What's the matter? Tired? Nah. You should see some of the old people. Just come into that crummy bar.
You'll
be too much. Honey, don't you know? You're not supposed to.
All right. We'll see if we can find out which way he's heading.
Understand why all these killings. Just the effectiveness is diminishing and he's got to kill more people to keep himself alive.
Look, Nelson, I don't know either. I only know I got to stop him. And I think you could give me something more to go on if you wanted to.
Captain Rogers.
Wow.
We're picking out of it.
Let's go.
Covering the roof.
mansion has been destructed.
How do you know my name? I don't know yours.
You don't.
Are you a hobo?
You went along that, Marjorie.
Are you hungry? Sometimes my mother beats hobos.
Like a woman, Marjorie. Please,
you're
running along
right now. Or maybe you have to play a game with us.
Marjorie, will you be a good girl and just do what I ask?
Just a short day. This won't take long.
Yes?
Here, that's Crocker.
Bob.
Where is he?
Just approaching the fence. Stand by. I'll take you away.
It didn't even tickle him.
He'll go right to where he put the force field.
Then we can get there before he does.
Let me know exactly where he's going.
He's heading right straight into the back of reactor number 3.
Come on. You move over there!
Do it again.
Scott, can't you stop this killing?
I couldn't.
Do you want to be remembered as a creator or a killer?
What if I promised to stop?
What do you mean it?
What would it be worth for you? Come with me. Brenda, I need you. I need to have your hand. I need to kiss you.
Thank you.
Boo. Yes. Good evening, everybody. Good evening and welcome to Soul Tree Radio's Creature Features. Now, one aspect of October I've always enjoyed is sci-fi mixed in with horror flicks and all the other good stuff that comes prior to, you know, those Milky Ways and candy corn. Yes, I do love candy corn. Anyway, having said all of that, I figured what I wanted to give you guys was a taste of that. And it didn't turn out like I wanted to, as we had to fumble with a couple of things, but we eventually hoped we were going to get it right. And we did. So, this is kind of an homage to the theaters. He lived in New York City, and he went to 40 Deuce for those 350 features. We got two movies and a cartoon, if you're possibly lucky enough. I'm going to show that to you. And pass that on, because one aspect of that that gives you enough flavor is that we love this stuff. You know, it goes together just like, well, just like trick and treat. Anyway, as I speak, I'm running out of gas here, and in movie parlance, I'm trying to get to the next flick. So we're in intermission, and y'all know there's good stuff going on. Go to the bathroom, do what you got to do, and also know that the smoking section in the upper balcony is in effect. If you're smoking upstairs, please know that you will not get what you're supposed to get. We will stop you unless you're going to share that shit. So eat and pass it. Share that shit. And know that the icebox and the snack bar will be open for at least another half hour before we close out. And now to our feature presentation. Now, if this works better than I started it, we'll have this again. But this is typical of stuff I've done. When something comes up that's mad scientist oriented, I think this will be a good idea. But as always, it's like something gets in the way of it. There's always some sort of rub. But when the idea comes off, it works. That's what I'm working for. That's what I'm looking for. So having said that, I'm sitting here looking for my stuff category, and I'll get to our feature presentation. Now, where the hell is it? By the way, we'll do this every now and then until Halloween, so you won't see every film, but we just like you guys to know that we like the fact that it's going to work, and I hope that you guys will appreciate it. So having said that, on with the feature. Thank you.
Here. You have no business here. How'd you get past the guard?
Dr. Elliot, this guy broke in. I couldn't help it. He caught me. Are you all right? Better call the hospital.
Better call the morgue.
What happened to him?
Looks like a heart attack.
Take him out of here.
Sure, Doc. Sure.
Girl, Susie, I knew you'd come through. What are you doing here in the salt mines? Didn't you and Vera have a date to go to the movies?
Leaving right away. I just dropped in to check on M-47.
Oh, here's the date on M-47's orbit you asked me for. Susie just finished the job.
Come on, honey.
Take a look. There. Like I always say, after you've seen one asteroid, you've seen them all.
Sure, to you, she's just a set of intercorrelated coordinates. What fun is that?
She's a beauty, all right. Have you named her yet?
I don't think I know her well enough to call her by name. After all, I haven't even computed her ecliptic yet.
Exposure meter at 2 minute intervals. Maybe we got enough photos to make a fix. Is there anyone standing by in the dark room?
Yeah, Vera is, of course. Let's get down there right away.
What do you make of it, Arnie? Looks like a good 15-degree shift to me.
It's a little out of my line, Les. But Susie can give us a straight dope with no guesswork.
Yeah. Let's run a double check before we take these to Dr. Elliott. Get them dried off and bring them right upstairs.
There goes our movie.
Ruby was probably his dog anyway. Right, Susan?
Ruby gets a lot more affection than I do.
Susie's going into a differential place.
I never get tired watching
you. Neither do I.
The white Susie.
Very simple. Synchro, unifying, synometric, integrating, equitant. Put them all together and they spell Susie. Well, it won't be long now, lads. Everything points to the same conclusion. Spectroscopic shift to the violet. Budding coordinates.
Having trouble, Dr. Culver?
I can't figure it out. The interlace and the diode loop went right out of sync for no reason.
I'm sure you'll be able to find it quickly.
Dr. Elliott, we've run on something you'll be interested in.
Input level okay. Feedback negligible. Cathode checks.
Susie, speak to me.
Seems like your girlfriend's getting tested.
Very interesting, Gaskell. If your assumption turns out to be justified.
More than an assumption, Dr. Elliott.
Oh, of course. Pardon the unfortunate choice of word. And let me know if you find out anything more about the new orbit.
Can't figure him out.
He didn't seem to believe you at all.
Plus, I'm stumped. It may be an all-night job before I find the bug.
Anything we can do?
It's going to take lots of work to get Susie back in shape. But why don't you two go on to the show?
All right. Might as well. See you later.
We'll just make the picture.
Yeah, oh, sure.
That's the starter button right there on the dash.
Huh? I should have phoned Professor Winter at Palomar, a friend of Harvard.
Oh, Les.
Well, we'll want verification from other observatories anyway. That's the only thing he'll ever convince Elliot I'm right.
Here we go again.
I better go back, see what Arnie's doing. Besides, there'll probably be more film ready to develop any minute.
I don't know when I've enjoyed a movie so much.
I'm sorry, huh?
I don't understand you, Les. Never been so tense about a planetoid before.
Well, M-27 is my baby. Actually, I worry about her when she's ailing.
I know you better than that, but something else is on your mind.
Yeah. That swing out of orbit. Normal. My son, I got a kind of chill. It's weird.
Very scientific.
Oh, I have my unscientific moments.
Are you having one now?
An ATL Philly's, the best Philly-style steak sandwich in it.
Say, you about through down there?
What?
Yeah. Susie's back on deck and raring to go. Diameter 4.9 miles, mass over 6,000 megatons, and speed of 1,750 miles per second.
And destination Earth. Oh, we can only hope it burns itself out when it enters the atmosphere.
With that mass, not a chance.
Perhaps you're right. Perhaps I've underestimated both of you.
That's not important now, sir. What is important is M-47 will strike the Earth within 16 hours, and it must not be permitted to strike at all.
How can we prevent it?
Job for the Army.
They've got the guided missile, the nuclear warheads. Intercept and destroy it before it strikes.
Thank you.
Stand by to ready missile. Missile's ready. Connect automatic radar tracking. Now announce time to intercept. 25, 24, 23, 22, 21, 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 7, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5,
the missiles are converging. Guard your eyes.
What's happening?
It's hard to say. I think the missiles have done the trick. No, wait. What is it? What do you make of it, Arnie? It's not destroyed at all. Rockets carried enough explosive force to blow up all of New York. Had no effect at all. Something's happening.
What?
Get Elliot. Liz!
Failure of the atomic missiles to explode the asteroid is still an unexplained mystery. General Miles reports other steps are being taken to cope with the emergency, but refuses to give details. The atomic warhead seemed to have had an effect on the object, however, causing it to veer in its course. Unofficial estimates are that the asteroid will land somewhere on the North American continent, but no two experts agree exactly where that will be. Chances of the object striking a large city are remote. Mayor, the police commissioner of New York, urge all the people to stay where they are and not, I repeat, not give way to unfounded rumors. The asteroid is heading in the general direction of New York, but it is hoped that it will pass over without damage to the city. That unusual sound you hear is being given off by the approaching asteroid. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned to this station. We will try to keep on the air. We understand that spectrum from the asteroid is interfering. We hope the danger will be over any second. People of North America, please, more easily today, by a providential chance, the giant body fits the heavy centers of population and plunged the steps of the Pacific off the Mexican coast.
Turn that penny over.
Churches are holding special service of thanksgiving for the deliverance from.
Deliverance. Danger averted. What's the matter with them? Can't they see any farther than their noses?
Several scientific institutions are already talking about plans to send expeditions to study it.
Friends, do you realize how long it takes a scientific expedition to get underway?
I think I do.
Months. Unless the asteroid will stay put. How do we know it will? What are you talking about? Look, Arnie, you and I saw M-47 swerve in its path, take a course impossible to explain by natural physical laws, didn't we? Yes, we did. Any mass 10 times its size and density should have been pulverized by that atomic barrage, but it wasn't. Instead, it changed its path again, struck downward toward the Earth, like a wounded animal lashing out at its tormentor. Well, what does all this add up to, Lapis? Intelligence. Now, don't laugh. Maybe it's just a crazy hunch, but I get a feeling I'd like to go down there right now. Mexico? What do you see? I don't know. Maybe nothing. What about Elliot? They'll have to give his approval, won't he? Right now, he's in no position to approve or disapprove. Oh, but let's say, look, Arnie, what if it is an intelligent being of some sort from somewhere out there? Will it wait for our scientific expeditions to get underway 6 months, a year from now? Or will it make a move of its own before that?
I'm under 2 miles of ocean.
Why not? Came through a billion miles of space.
better turn back and run through the gas.
Vera, how did you get down here?
Explain the mouse at line. Try the jeep and pass away.
You know what I mean.
Oh, I thought you might
need
these.
You haven't been so careless. Careless like a fox.
What do you refer to?
Never mind. Look, you must be hungry. Come here. They tell me this Mexican food is just one. Muy sabrosa. Water. Water. Hurry, water. 82.
Cigarette?
No, thanks.
Hey, Les. Manuel wants us to go clam digging with him. How about it?
Vera?
Nothing. I've already dug up a clam.
I'm sorry, Vera.
Well, I've had more thrilling.
Look, Vera, this thing is on my mind.
Well, there's not a thing you can do about it till morning. Why don't you stop worrying and try to relax?
We'll go over the whole area again with a fine-tooth comb. Start out before dawn.
And if you don't find anything?
At least we can get back to Lab Central before Elliot learns what a fool I made of myself.
You know, somebody might think that you're disappointed in not finding some horrible beast from another planet.
I can't get over the awful feeling that this is the calm and that the storm is going to break out any minute. Looked at the night sky without an awareness. There's more out there than we can ever hope to understand. Things we might sense if we weren't too stupid to admit their existence.
Thank you.
As Dr. Williams, I have a patient with shock treatment.
Yes, doctor. Dr. Gasco, are you mad?
Can you cook?
Cook? I wrote the book.
So?
I whipped this up all by myself.
You think you'll be able to respect her husband, who has probably formed a scientific boner a long time?
Yes, look.
This is a great improvement. Electroshock therapy daily until further orders. Dr. Elliott, you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. I want you to rest quiet. You've been through quite a siege.
And it's true.
Dr. Elliott.
Is that a dream? It did happen.
How about yourself, Doctor?
I myself, for the first time since...
How long is it since? Dr. Elliott, I must insist. Nurse!
Oh, no, you've got to listen to me.
What is it, Doctor?
Apollinar, hurry. For God's sake, listen. I don't know how much time I may have. Oh, please, let me explain. You've got to help me. Help me. Doctor...
That's hard. You could cut it with a knife.
I get these lucid moments. Yes, well, everything seems clear then?
No. Well, that's just it. It's clear and it's not. I know I'm doing something terrible. Very
during the period you can't remember?
Yes, but I can't tell what it is. I just know that it's as if I'm not myself, but somebody else. Someone evil and dangerous. Someone who should not be allowed to live.
You have impulses to do away with yourself?
Not myself. But the other one. This force inside me.
Have you ever tried to commit suicide, Dr. Elliot?
What good would it do? He would live on, command the star.
What did you say?
Command the... You don't believe me, do you?
Of course I do, Dr. Elliot.
No, you don't. You think I'm insane. I'm not insane. This is the truth. This is what's happening. You've got to believe me.
May 23rd. Patient exhibits a marked paranoid syndrome with manic depressive effect. The clinical picture is atypical in that encephalogram readings are opposite to expected findings. The patient's alpha waves are violent during his lucid moments and read almost normal during his more violent seizures. Electroshock therapy seems to bring on patient's fantasies rather than to quiet them. The patient is convinced that he is possessed by a demon, an incubus, which dominates his actions and makes him carry out its will. Through this demon, he is telepathic, dominating at a distance the inhabitants of some undisclosed world who subsist on pure electrical or atomic energy. Finding their planet depleted, they are scourging the universe for fresh supplies. My glasses. May 24th. Under continued shock treatment, the patient's fantasy takes on more detail. A great energy storehouse, or to use the patient's word, accumulator, has landed on this earth under the direction and control of his incubus. Unless stopped somehow, others will land and suck the earth dry of all electrical and atomic energy resources. Patient's cerebrospinal pressure has risen to 20 millimeters. His blood chemistry shows an abnormal consumption of energy. Ophthalmic examination shows marked abnormality. Electroencephalogram, still atypical.
Doctor, what are you doing up?
Give me that record.
Well, these recordings are private, you know that.
The things I told you must not be known.
You mean you? Impossible.
Now, you're the only one that knows, and you will never tell.
The strange monster is alleged to have appeared without warning at this isolated spot on the shore of the Pacific, 100 miles south of Guaymas. The story was phoned in from Los Santos by Dr. Leslie Gaskell, a well-known and reputable scientist from Lab Central. He's due down to investigate the asteroid. We have recorded Dr. Gaskell's report, and here is a portion of it.
Thought we found negative radiation. We saw it standing. It's about 100 feet high, made of gleaming metal. I can only think of the giant Kronos. It hasn't moved since. It may not have dangerous intent, but certainly looks formidable.
¿Cuántas veces digo voy a tener que rip?
As you can hear, the telephone connection from Los Santos was very poor. Dr. Gaskell's mention of the giant Cronus refers to the great evil monster of that name from Greek mythology. Good name for this modern Cronus, perhaps one that'll catch on. There's an artist's conception drawn after Dr. Gaskell's description. Pretty scary looking, isn't it? Perhaps a gift from another world to ours. Who knows? Speaking of Lab Central, Dr. Hubble Elliott, director of Lab Central, was discharged today from Phoenix General Hospital only a few hours after the tragic death of his attending physician, Dr. Albert R. Stern, the well-known neuropsychiatrist, was accidentally electrocuted in his own laboratory by a defective circuit.
Electro plant.
I've never been down in the insulation chamber before.
Oh,
Well, there's nothing to be afraid of. The alpha chamber is lined with lead and titanium 4 feet thick. It can withstand any cosmic ray known.
Fine.
Who is it?
Castro.
Just a moment.
This interview. They can't do it, don't you understand? They can't.
Pentagon has given the green light. Preparations are already underway.
You haven't seen that monster, Dr. Elliott.
Are you suggesting that anything in this universe can withstand a multiple thermonuclear attack?
Doctor, you yourself have generated the heat of a dozen suns in the nuclear furnace on the other side of that wall. I tell you that Kronos has plates more impervious still. Not only can he withstand any force we're able to throw against him, but he will actually absorb that energy, become more powerful from it.
Have you any proof of this, Gaskell?
Positive proof, but I'm convinced that the giant sucks up energy like a sponge, feeds on it, is a walking storehouse of energy, and you propose to feed it the most concentrated dose of pure energy that man has ever been able to devise.
Why did he choose a power plant in the first place?
Who knows? A boulder rolling down a mountain doesn't know or care what it destroys in its path.
Just falling into a trap, Doctor, if you think of this thing as blind, undirected. Its very construction is proof of intelligence, of a degree of organization man may not realize on this Earth for another 1,000 years, if man is still around.
All right, Leslie. What would you do to stop this thing?
I don't know yet, but at least we must...
Today, you have no positive facts. In the meantime, the giant is marching up the coast of Mexico. It turned inland. We cannot wait till it reaches populated territory. We must hit it now. Right, Arnie. Got it? Just what I need.
Les, this is something you should know. The Phoenix Hospital just phoned and I... Oh, Dr. Elliott. I'm sorry, I thought...
What were they telling at the hospital about me?
Why, nothing. Nothing.
There's no need to lie. I know very well that they told you.
You are right, Dr. Elliott.
Listen. I don't know how much time I have. Gaskell, you're much.
Listen.
Gaskell, here on Earth, we have learned only one half the nuclear secret. We can transform matter into energy. Up there, they have the other half. They transmute energy into matter. They have learned how to create the basic elements of matter, electrically and atomically. You mean like the experiments Howard at Boston Tech has been conducting? But their planet has become depleted of energy. Who can it be? What has happened then may well happen here if we continue using our resources at the present rate. And are they sending out accumulators to find and store up new sources of energy? Life's blood. So that's how the giant grows. How can we ever stop it? I don't know. Reverse the process somehow. Corners only the first. If he succeeds, more will come. Drain the earth. Every last bit of power.
I'm in the Pentagon. Well, clear the line. This is an emergency. I don't care if the plane is on its way. Call it back. That bomb must not go off.
Control to PX-89. PX-89, you are to return to base.
Repeat. Return to base immediately.
All right. You are reading me. Return to base at once.
But we are inside of a planet.
You heard the order. Return to your base at once.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right, let's go over it once more. Colonels were governed by a distant intelligence.
Some help has been by Dr. Elliott. The records from the hospital all fall in line now.
Right. Here, run that tape again, will you?
Yes, go. You must listen. Here on Earth, we have learned only one half. We can transform matter into energy. Up there, they have the other half. They transform energy into matter.
Energy into matter? Entropic conversion. How can we ever stop it?
Reverse the process somehow.
Yes. How, oh, in heaven's name? Girl, I know I'm asking an awful lot. Please don't want to have a nervous breakdown.
Nervous breakdown?
Susie can stand just so much input that her feedback circuit overloads the jams. She goes into a regular tizzy. Wait. Couldn't we do that to Kronos?
What do you mean?
Apply the Attenberg theorem. Destroy the monster with his own energy. Treated shower of a mega part. Matter derived from energy could cause change of polarity. The reversal process would trigger the conversion. Kronos' power to destroy would be turned upon himself. By setting up an internal chain reaction, Kronos would become his own executioner.
Yes. Yes, thank you. I'll tell him.
Think it'll work?
It'll have to. Kronos is headed for the atom bomb stockpile at Wyneby.
Once the news got out that Kronos was headed for Los Angeles, it was impossible to prevent panic. Police and National Guard have been powerless to stem the wild rush away from the doomed city. Military authorities state that the city is in the monster's path on his way to the huge stockpile of nuclear weapons at Wyneby. One more hope remains. Dr. Leslie Gaskell of Lab Central at this moment is closeted with officers at an Air Force base just outside Los Angeles, while a lone jet plane wings in to Boston Institute of Technology with rare radioactive elements on his order. What Dr. Gaskell proposes to do, the world has no idea. Nor scientist that he is, will he make any firm predictions about an event hedged with so many unknowns.
Your plan fails. Only the mountains can stop him. It can't fail.
It won't. I know it.
Right. We made radio contact with the jet. We're switching controls to the control car.
Is at 27.
1452 north, 175, 1807 west. How can you make contact? Urgent.
Contact within 4 minutes.
Report back when you sign objective.
Right.
Hang on.
Give me meteorology.
53. Pilot has made contact with objective. Take over.
Right. MT3 to 4J574.
Go ahead, MT3.
Wind drift, 8 miles per hour and 160 degrees. Approach target at 20,000 feet.
Airspeed 360 from 320 degrees.
Fire 1 mile 7 tenths in advance of target.
And wind better hold steady. Just better hold steady.
Proceed.
Hey, Iron Mike. There I come.
FG3 to 4J574. With your ship, National College run and circle for further instruction.
Wind now at 195 degrees. Drift 6 miles per hour.
Approach 360 airspeed at 20,000 from 15 degrees. Fire 1 mile 9 tenths in advance.
Check.
You've done it.
What'll happen now?
Chain reaction.
Keep on until the last current electron of mass has been neutralized. Cronus is literally eating himself up alive. Witnessing his death throes.
Oh. I can get back to Susie
and go to the movies.
Liz, do you think there's any more
death? If they do, we'll be ready for them.
You guys win. Yay. But how long will it be before they come and attack Earth again? Well, you know, we've had a lot of chance with this, and we have a feeling that they will be back. Two movies tonight were The 4D Man from 1959, starring Robert Lansing and Mimi Meriwether. Mimi Meriwether was one of those examples of a woman that looked like a woman. Seems like society preferred them thicker and fuller. And, well, she's a good-looking woman, what can I tell you? Now, the second movie, Kronos, 1957, was interesting because it was way ahead of its time. It was one of those movies that jumped on a theory that hadn't been used in years. And that was the fact that the Earth was using resources and that they were running out of them. And that they were going to have eventually somebody come and take that shit from them if they weren't functioning. The mindset of, you know, this is ours, we're going to take care of it. As a matter of fact, in the movie it was said, we need to take care of our shit. And that was really good. Anyway, Kronos, I expect Kronos to be redone because it's a good plot, it's a good movie, and, you know, a good movie is a good movie. That's one thing we liked about those flicks back then. Popcorn movies were worth the looking at, and we did not mind seeing them over and over and over and over again. Meanwhile, our lab research continues as we strive to make the perfect black and white cookie, which will be done over the next few days as we keep things going for everybody else here in the Mad Scientist Lab. And for all of us, we say to you, have a great evening. Go safe, stay safe, and be safe. We'll see you Wednesday with the Hot Day Special, 9 p.m. Eastern. For all of us here, thank you as always. Sorry for stumbling over this, but we have a feeling that we might get in touch with this format again. You got to try it again because it's worth trying. Yes, it is worth trying. Anyway, take care. We will talk to you all much, much later. And don't forget, we are going to come get you. At least that's what the forces from above are saying. You got to come and get us. So we got to fight back. Good night.